Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, how are you, Sister Gail?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. To you, Mr. Johnson, VOB, and the entire staff. First, I want to say kudos to UWI, to the teachers up there, and the students. I want to give them great thanks in all their endeavors. Now, getting back to you at Camomere, I want to also give you kudos of your school and also all the secondary schools in Barbados and the government schools. Mm-hmm. First, what I want to say, Lisa, is, well, first, don't call me out, talk it all.
Sorry?
What I want to know.
Okay.
What I want to know, my heart goes out and my family, just like the Prime Minister, Mayor Moore, heart goes out to laying off people. I know she's hurting. But there's no way out. It's no way out. But again, could it be, Lisa, like, they could show you, like, a country like Barbados that she had to try to hold the dollar and she didn't hold the dollar, how it would look like? Because, I mean, we belong to CBC. We could go up on the CBC now. Could that work out and show people what would look like a country that the dollar get divided, what would look like? Because some people don't understand. But my heart goes with her. I ask the country to continue to go with her. She's doing her best. She's trying. And God bless her in all her endeavors and all her rest of MPs that goes with her. I thank you for that.
Thank you so much, sir. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Top of the day to you.
Top of the day to you as well.
I just want to say in passing that you were missing in action on Tuesday. But let me move on.
We had a date and I didn't turn up. How sad.
Well, I thought you would have been part of the date. Those of us who were on the consult committee at the Inter-America Development Bank were invited on Tuesday, and I was one of the people who turned up. And I was a bit saddened not to see you, because I'm sure your great ability would have been helpful.
Were you able to add input? I was invited through the executive committee of the Barbados Economic Society, but I had another engagement and therefore couldn't attend. But I wasn't invited through my association with consult.
Oh, I see. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, to answer the question, yes, I did put a few inputs in.
Okay.
But I actually called because of a previous caller who seemed to suggest that we are now living in changing times and that public workers do not need the protection of security of tenure. Now,
not entirely, if I may, but yes.
Mm-hmm. The security of tenure, as I put it, has been gained by many, many long negotiations between the trade union movement and the workers. And you were quite right in suggesting that when a person can go to his head of department or whoever and get a letter to suggest that he is a permanent resident in the ministry, that goes a long way in how he can obtain credit or whatever it is he's looking for. Without that type of letter, it is impossible for such a worker to get credit. Now, I'll give you an example. There were some people who used to work cleaning the roadside. A previous government decided, let's get rid of those people and let us give the work to some other people who appear to be different from us. The work was given to them, and they then employed who they wanted to clean up the roads.
You're sure the roads were getting cleaned up? Because if my memory serves me correctly, we, over the last few years, have been having some significant challenges with the beautiful and pristine nature of the Barbados that we know.
The point is, the workers who are now taken on by those who have been given the contracts, the question has to be asked. Can any of them go to those contractors and get a letter that they can take to the bank or to somebody in business to get credit transactions sorted out? My answer is emphatically no. So that merely goes to show the difficulties. The biggest challenge we have in Barbados is that we have an education system that does not work entirely by putting people straight from either secondary schools or universities into work without people having to ask for, we need to know how many years experience you've had in the job. And I don't know how you gain experience in the job if you are at school or college or university. I don't know how you do that, because our curriculum is not structured sufficiently to give people the necessary skills while they are either secondary or tertiary education. And therefore, you can take on a man with a master's degree.
Or a doctoral
or even a doctoral, you better believe it. And he's no use to you in the workplace, because he now has to be trained to do whatever job it is he's doing, never mind how educated he is. And to me, that is the problem that our country needs to deal with now. That is more important than the little piece of nonsense of saying that people do not need to be permanent residents in a ministry. And that is why, incidentally, now I will say this. I cannot see what other system can work other than the last in, first out system. It wouldn't make sense to me. I don't know how you will get rid of somebody doing 15 years, probably have another 15 years to go before retirement. Somebody who should know the job, and you put somebody who is just coming for 6 months and thinks that he or she will know the job better than the fellow who's been there for 15 years. Does not make sense to me. If it is true, and it's possible, it means the fellow who's been there for 15 years has been wasting his time.
Well, my response would be that there are scenarios where last in, first out would render the organization ineffective, because there are some persons who might have gone through a strategic plan within the last 5 years and they've put some mechanisms in place and they're going through their monitoring and evaluation, and they have particular staffers who are carrying out specific objectives and doing so ably, having recently joined an organization. For you to then say last in, first out, and they have to go, and the other persons who've been there before who are not necessarily meeting those targets or who are not trying to reach those particular objectives, then you run the risk of the plan, the strategy that you've put in place, it not being coming to a good completion, and then therefore the output of the organization could be stymied because of last in, first out. So I think that there must be a potpourri or a series of options, not just last in, first out. And I hear the perspective of the unions where they've indicated that because that's the only other system, because there's not been any real monitoring of employees over the years, and therefore you don't have any documentation that shows whether somebody's performing or not, then you have to go with last in, first out. And I dare say that if we are indeed looking at being fit for purpose, and we are now making the hard decisions are going forward here on, there must be a job evaluation every 6 or 12 months so that we continue to look at how persons are performing, so that down the road, if we do have any, not necessarily restructuring, but if we do have any retooling or putting people in different spaces and places, then we have documentation that can show that this person is better fit in a different pool versus whether it is engineering or over in customer service or in whatever section they should be in. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air, Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Earlier, you made the point that Grenada's economy was growing at 5%, right?
Yeah, I did.
Now, what I want to do, you know, before I make that point with Grenada, I want to say to you that I have a publication here called Finance and Development I used to get from the MF. We're buying an MF publication, and it has an article captioned Conditionality and the Use of Fund Resources, and it deals with Jamaica's experience with the fund. It would be interesting reading. But Jamaica has been under IMF structural adjustment for about 40 years. This article starts in 1977, and it details Jamaica's experience with the fund. But it's very interesting to see. Anyway, we want to get on to Grenada. Hello?
Yes,
now,
I'm
you're
still
saying,
here.
You're saying that you made the point that Grenada's economy is growing at 5%.
Yeah.
Now, how is that growth being financed? Can you tell me?
A large part is the CIP. I don't know if you remember last week. Persons who, that's only one part. That's not
all. We mean the
economy. But we're persons who are investing in the country.
Right, oh yeah.
And want to live or own a house.
Right, good. Okay, all right, okay.
Yes.
The next thing.
But that's only one part. Yes.
You go ahead.
Continue.
I ask this question for this reason, right? Because it is very important. Very often I hear about growth.
Mm-hmm.
And people talk about growth, right? But nobody looks at how the growth is being financed.
When you say nobody looks at it, who do you mean?
I mean, very often when they say the economy is going at 5%. For instance, down the road, no Barbados would be said, we are getting, according to the gentleman who is the technical advisor, or senior technical advisor, whoever he is, mm-hmm. he's saying that, we are going to have an injection of about $1 billion into Barbados' foreign currency, injecting the Barbados economy from both the IDB and the CDB. Now, down the road, we are going to, every year, we'll be hearing, Barbados has grown by X amount. But mm-hmm. The point I'm making is nobody will be looking at what financed that growth. Down the road, these are foreign currency loans that will have to be repaid. And in fact, if you look at Barbados down the years, there's a point that people who are analyzing the thing can make. Because, I make this point because I remember Ireland. Ireland is a case that comes to mind immediately. I have a publication here that I could go back and find where Ireland's economy was considered to be the Merkel economy. It was growing at a fantastic rate, manufacturing and everything. You know what? Then, you know what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, nobody in that article, nobody at the time looked at the problem. Many non-performing loans were discovered in the property market. They were pumping a lot of money in the property market, and it collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money went into manufacturing enterprises that failed. And what happened? A few years down the road, the European Central Bank had to finance to bail out Ireland. You remember that?
Yes.
A substantial amount of money. Of course, you're saying we have Spain and Portugal. Now, what this one's saying, very often we hear about growth, but nobody looks at what is financing the growth. This is the point I'm making.
Point is made.
Yeah. So, now, in relation to the Barbados, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a problem that we have to, it's in the politics. People have to recognize the reality of what Barbados. Barbados has never yet been able to provide employment for all its people. In fact, I remember recognizing
Barbados as in the government
and
the private sector or just
the country. No, I mean the country itself. All the years has never been able to provide employment for its people. In fact, I remember Rex Nettleford saying years ago that the only thing we can have for employment was on the slavery. On the slavery. He said it's mm-hmm. true. The only thing we have for employment.
Can we use it in its full sense?
That's right. But the point I'm making is this. We are talking about, yes, we're looking at right now with laying off all that. But the reality is that down the years, the politicians have, both parties, have had to create jobs in the public service for people. No jobs really, but to give people money. That we're not, everybody knows that the majority, half the public service could go home and the country would be well off. Train them and half the people could go home. But the point is,
I don't share that point though. But I hear you.
I share that point. I share that view. I tell you what, I used to work in public service. You know, when I left school,
I used to work in public service too. But to make a statement that we moved from 30 to 15 or 40,000 to 20, just like that. Of course, there are going to be fall offs.
Right.
Service delivery is going to be impacted. It's going to have a significant effect. So don't say that everybody could go home and everything will be normal.
I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about the reality of to make Barbados more. Because look, you have too many people. Let me tell you a reality here. If you look at it, they pack the thing because naturally people come to politicians for jobs,
And the only business they could do is partner in public. So it's called the private sector, and private can't employ any law. How many graduates the private sector can't employ? A supermarket. How many graduates a supermarket want?
It's not even just graduates. It is employment in and of itself.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of people, I mean, mainly like most cashiers in a supermarket. I mean, the most people that are highly trained, where to work. You might get some in the banks, maybe the insurance companies. And
which is why, sir, which is why the economy is so small, we can be absorbed across the region and we're not thinking outside of our borders.
Right.
I want to hear that bigger discussion. When we think using our resources, whether it is capital, whether it is our labor, you just said that Barbados has never seen full employment because we've only been limited to the space that we've grown up. Look at the other countries. Those people migrate easily and readily.
Yes,
why are we limited to seeing our land space?
But listen, we were migrating too, you know.
Look at the term you use. You use a past tense.
Uh-huh. We were, but right now we're the avenues for migration.
A lot of people aren't leaving.
But listen, but you can't could go to the United States. You can go to the United States now. Britain will take you. Look, all the avenues, the 1950s.
Are you talking the region? You're talking going out and carrying your labor in the places where we've built up people's economy. I'm not talking that. I'm talking building up our regional economies as well.
Good, yeah. But what I'm saying is, what about the regional economies? I mean, how many jobs there are done in these?
Trust me. Don't look at it as you're starting up by thinking negative. How many and can't you do it? Just start looking at the opportunities and you will find them.
Yeah, but madam, you must have a market for every
and the market of okay, the market. We limit ourselves. When you think Caribbean, what do you think of? Do you ever include what do you think of when you think Caribbean?
When I think of Caribbean, all the border in the Caribbean Sea. But what I'm saying is you cannot really include Latin America because Latin America, I mean, first of all, down there is very racist. They don't like black people.
You see, now you're starting with us.
I have an article here now.
What about the Anglo-Saxon Caribbean? Let's stop there.
The Anglo-Saxon Caribbean. You have Jamaica, Trinidad, and the former British colonies in the Caribbean, mm-hmm. Belize and whatever. No. What opportunities there are in these countries?
Have you checked to see what opportunities there are in those countries?
Guyana might be opening up now, I guess, eventually, and there might be opportunities. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I cannot see these countries in the Caribbean. In fact, even as far back in 1937, if you see the Moyne Commission report, talking about the economies in the Caribbean not having a lot of future. I mean, and up to now, all the talk that we've heard, why do people that run the countries don't create the opportunity? The politicians, the meeting, look, they were having...
You know that before 1973 with the... Well, it was Carif the First, but
now.
Before the CARICOM, before the Treaty of Chagaramasa stopped there, you know, people were moving easy, so we have a lot of families, a lot intertwining, and there was real regional integration, and people were going for the opportunities.
Yeah, but listen to me, let me tell you something. You know something that is a foot problem? You have to create productive jobs that create wealth. We know what's wrong with Barbados right now. A major problem facing Barbados is that the majority, you know where the government has a massive fiscal deficit? Because the majority of people in Barbados, the majority of the, especially the educated class, few of them are involved in creating wealth. Most of the people are into non-productive service activity.
It happens, and, yes. I can't disagree with
you there.
This is
a major problem, and I think this is the issue forget the politics, that people need to look at the reality of Barbados. Too many of our educated class are involved in non-productive. The government, or they get a job in the statutory board that are created to give them jobs for doing nothing. Check a lot of government statutory boards. They were created by politicians to give jobs to their friends. And they give them a job paying them $15,000, $7,000, a lot of money. But what do they do? How much wealth do they create for Barbados? Check it out and you'll see. That is the crisis that we face. And until people realize the reality of Barbados, we will get nowhere. We can get the foreign loans and debt the economy. Down the road, we can look as though we're growing for a little while, and then the foreign loans have to be repaid down the road.
Okay.
Where the foreign currency is coming from to repay them.
So we need to be productive. Essentially, what you're saying is we need to be productive. We need to look at wealth creation, and we need to use our education in a way that brings and adds value to the country. I'm going to thank you for your contribution. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. We are going until 1:30 p.m. today. We have some callers. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Oh, terrific. I've listened to your conversation. I want to hit you on a couple of topics, especially the one of the people who are going home, sonographers. I think you said sonographers and typists.
That's the first set of persons that I saw.
Right, I want to hit you on that. But first of all, what you said to Mr. Marcus at the end, I believe in that also. If you're not producing, you should be gone. You know, last name for us is a computer term. So it's people, first name for us. But it's the one in between the G-I-G-O or Giggle, garbage in, garbage out. If you're taking moves for this place for all them years, oh, you go. There's somebody who's got to come in. You get what I'm saying? What you told him is always what happens, always been on my line of thought. Okay. But you put it diplomatically, I didn't. No. Okay. I'm glad you clarify who's going on.
That is something I saw. That there are, of course, a set of people. I was only referring to what I've seen in something that someone shared with me, but I don't have the details.
No, but that makes sense. If you're not producing, you're not there. Matter of fact, look, in America's sports, you always ask, even if you go in the Hall of Fame, what have you done for me recently? They always ask that. Even the first woman in the Hall of Fame got dropped from some team or the other got traded some team because they do not have any for the team that they were with. And you get what I'm saying? Just check it good. Anyway, yeah, the stenographers and the typists, about 3-4 months ago, right, there was a program on fake news, or more correctly, disinformation. And this is what it said. And I laugh because we got a gentleman called Mr. Lewis, the pastor, who wanted something. He and I see, I hear a lot of things. We see past a lot of things. It said that the people who are most adept at detecting disinformation, which is called fake news, are stenographers, typists, people who take dictation, and get this, people like myself who deal with electricity. We got a call here though that I don't know about, but I can swear from Mr. Lewis. that is very good. Now, our prime minister is also the commander in chief of security and defense of security. Okay. I think these people should be reassigned so they can pull over any information to try to decipher the indecent. They can bring put it a test and see if that assessment is universal. See if, in fact, if they can actually detect and see the patterns in disinformation, what we call fake news. Now, there's a very prominent canon in our society. I could call his name. It's Mr. Messiah. He said twice on the government program, in the program with Mr. John Lovell, the Jews did not accept the prophet Jesus because he was not the political Messiah they had expected. In other words, they had a prophecy for political Messiah. He wasn't it. He said it himself. And if you look at the Dead Sea Scrolls, the manual called the Manual of Discipline, in which it shows the people of Jesus' time had prophecies for 2 Messiah and a prophet. And lastly, to those 2 gentlemen, Patrick and Yellow, and the Bible man, I call him. There was a question once asked on the government station of this panel. How come Jesus did not show himself to Mary Magdalene, but he showed himself to Doubting Thomas? I'm going to answer it. The surname of Doubting Thomas is Judas. It means twin brother. You have a good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I actually have a WhatsApp here with a gentleman who insisted that I share some detail. He said that the problem, as it relates to persons not being able to access personnel at government offices, is simple. In the past, the said phones did not have call ID, but that said feature is now one of the main features, and therefore information. Okay, I'll stop there. But essentially what he was sharing was that there's a persons can choose not to call, especially if you're an incessant caller and they probably don't want to hear you. They would probably avoid your calls. And I think that relates to one of the second or third callers who spoke to the inability to get through at the, it was a polyclinic, it was at the St. Philip Polyclinic. She'd indicated the number 4236231, and she was unable to get through to anyone, been calling since Monday, and she had to use her workplace phone to call and still was unsuccessful, and she wanted to get someone to answer the call, and we were going through whether or not there was a person who either was avoiding her. She said she knows who sits there. There's a lady there, and then she identified there's a man next to him. So she actually knows who the persons are, and she was trying to figure out and to query what took place that she's not getting through to those persons. So the gentleman is saying that it is possible that there's caller ID and then they're not taking the calls as they used to be. And that's a feature of these days, in truth. There are some people who have... I actually don't subscribe to caller ID. I think a message left would be useful. But some people have their own choices. And the cell phone technology does facilitate, though, that you can identify the person very easily, very different from the other technology. You have to pay a little extra at the telephone company to be able to do that. We actually have a gentleman who wants to steal 5 minutes of Brass Sax time to have a discussion on matters that we generally don't like to talk about. I would introduce him to you as an ardent supporter of all things clean, and he will come in and share a little bit on his perspective as it relates to all things clean. So, Mr. Padmore, I will give the floor to you for 5 minutes or 2 minutes only.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Good afternoon, Barbados. I'm here, of course, representing the Sanitation Service Authority. I'm the public relations officer.
Okay.
And we're here just to speak for 2 minutes on two things. One,
we are you are?
Well, I'm representing the organization.
I am here.
Yeah, representing the organization.
Yes, sir.
And I know the boss and the chairman and the minister and those are all listening. Mm-hmm. We want to deal with the sewerage contribution, first of all. It's a contribution that's on the garbage contribution that's on the water tax.
Do you mean the increase in water, as has been referred to?
It is a contribution, yes.
As has been referred to by many of our callers?
It's a contribution and not a tax, yes.
Okay.
And it's a contribution because, as you know, we need to improve our collections around Barbados. Mm-hmm. We are bordering in the 20s in terms of the trucks. Sometimes we go down into the teens, which is worrisome because we have over 130 routes to services. And when you have a case where you have only maybe, let's say, 20, 21 trucks, it can be burdensome. But more than that, we want to encourage Barbadians to see the environment and see our surroundings as ours, mm-hmm. instead of sanitation. And because if we all play a part, mm-hmm. in keeping Barbados clean, and it starts at a source, which is your house and my house, mm-hmm. then the perspective is different. Okay. And let's start with some simple things. 95% of what you have in your household can be recycled. 95%.
73.
Tell me some things that can't.
The bananas, what would I do with the peelings?
The peelings can mulch.
Right.
So they can recycle.
Do I have the capacity to make mulch?
We can show you how to set a simple mulch thing in your garden. Very, very, very simple. Very, very, very simple. So it can
be. What about the person who doesn't have a garden?
Right. The person who doesn't have a garden can find a neighbor who has. Because I'm saying, as a community, we still have to get back to that where we feed into each other. So yes, you may not want to collect the plastic bottles, for instance. Mm-hmm. But your neighbor might want to do that because it's extra. I know schools do that. Really,
Tetra Paks can't be recycled.
What are they made of, ma'am?
They're made of mm-hmm. both plastic
uh-huh.
as well as a fiber-like material.
Right, so therefore we can extract. So I'm saying to you, but that's why I said 95, but I didn't say every single thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying if you look at the 95%,
yes.
it is still less garbage going into
the landfill.
And a landfill will cost, or can cost, mm-hmm. over $30 million. And what we are saying to you mm-hmm. is let us practice basic recycling and mm-hmm. get our children into that. That's the first thing. Also, we are urging Barbadians. There's still a lot of Barbadians who don't have a garbage bin by their houses. And the recommended size, we are saying, is about the 35 meter, not the 55 big ones, where it becomes cumbersome for our guys to lift.
Okay.
Right? And the containers should have holes at the bottom and a suitable cover. That cover presents a number of things. Rainwater going in,
mm-hmm.
and of course the dogs and the cats from going in. Okay. So there's just some basic things we want to remind them, because
okay.
yes, we recognize at the SSA that we have a shortage of vehicles, but we want Barbadians to know that these vehicles are working 24 hours with a crew, and we're going through all of the districts. We want to remind you as well of our numbers, mm-hmm. 535-5000.
535-5000. And someone would answer? When?
Yes, someone will answer. We have a commercial department that opens from as early as 6 o'clock, 535-5019. That's also where you can report the pet patrol. If you see a dead animal or you have one on your property, you can call In terms, we know people have been calling about what we call white metal and the bulk waste. Mm-hmm. You call the commercial department. Derek Brayton, who is the bulk waste superintendent, he will tell you when is the best time to set down your white metal, because white metal should not be mixed with the household garbage.
Okay.
And then one final thing, we did here on your program yesterday, some calls coming from West Terrace. What actually happened there? We did go to West Terrace over the last 7 to 10 days, but there were some persons who had their garbage on the inside of their wall, on the inside of their property.
Mm-hmm.
Those, we do not have permission. Only the Ministry of Health can go onto your property like that.
Okay.
It's a curbside collection. And we are saying to Barbadians, it should be in front of your house, not in the road, in a suitable position in the garbage, there at the curbside. And it's a curbside collection that we undertake.
Okay.
Right? But if it's inside your gate, we can't. We don't have that permission. And we don't want to go in there and damage anything. So we want to appeal to everybody to work. Let's work together with this situation. No, we have to come back from time to time because we would like to get into sorting. We want to let you know you can call us and we will respond. Especially if you are in an area where you see it's going to 2-3 weeks. Let us know. We have the supervisors out there.
Mm-hmm.
We're out there on the ground. But we want to work with you so that we can have Barbados better.
There are scenarios where persons have had their garbage technically put out.
Yes, please.
And there was no collection, either because the driver has indicated that he couldn't pass, etc.
Yes.
And the what was the scenario there?
We are in contact with the members of the Royal Barbados Police Force working on that. Where you have some small areas where vehicles are actually blocking.
Yes.
People may say, but the truck could get through. We have had cases where we try to get through and we might touch a mirror or damage the vehicle on the sidewalk on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
We prefer that if your vehicle can be in your garage or parked off the road, in a sense, that we can get through.
Okay.
Remember, we're dealing with the big vehicles, right?
Mm-hmm.
That has caused a problem. What would happen there is that when we can't get through there and the vehicle goes to a different route, people say, but you can come back tomorrow. It's not always that easy because, remember, you have a minimum fleet.
Yes.
So that vehicle then goes to service another district. So if you know that you have a vehicle that is impeding the natural flow of the traffic, especially with the SSA vehicles, please understand, we want to come and service you, and therefore we prefer that your vehicle is parked off the road, and also that your mirrors are tucked in. We prefer that, so that we can come and get to you. It's hurricane season as well, and we'd want Barbadians to
be conscious
of that.
And ably. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're going until 1:30 p.m. We have one last caller. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. I just want to say you don't have to have a garden in order to your food skin, your banana skin, your vegetable skin, your food that you have thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have a garden. If you have a banana tree, you have flowers, you could save up all those food and stuff in a bucket, cover it, and then after put it around the garden.
Oh, put it in the garden where?
Put it around the banana tree?
No, if you don't have a banana tree.
If you don't have a banana tree and you have flower plants and you want your flower plants to thing, you could just dig a little hole, scratch little holes around the plants and bury, just cover it.
This would feed the soil surrounding the flowers.
No. I have flower plants and I have like two banana tree and one planting tree.
Okay.
And I put all everything
in there.
The skin, everything, pumpkin skin, banana skin, everything, tanya skin, edo skin, everything wrong my banana tree.
Okay. Thank you so much for your contribution. I want to thank Mr. Alf Padmore for sharing with us the importance of taking care of the environment as the Sanitation Service Authority looks to expand its work and to improve its service delivery through the beneficial input of us customers with this new levy that is being put on, I wouldn't say on the water bill. It is reflected on the
water bill.
Yes.
But it's for the betterment of Barbados.
It's for the betterment of Barbados.
Not only for vehicles, but it's the whole betterment of our environment. Let's look at it. It's our contribution.
Thank you so much, Mr. Alf Padmore. This has been my take on Down to Brass Tacks. We want to thank Mr. Dennis Johnson for moderating, Janice for directing and doing all things technical. My name is Lisa Gale, down to brass tacks.